Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, here we go. It's a Thursday, one day till Friday. Knocking on the door of another big weekend. I say that every week, and every week it turns out to be, you know, there's something big happening. Used to be there was time down in the sports calendar, not no more. How you doing, Hugh? What up?
Good morning. Good morning, John Fricke. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? Hope you had a wonderful evening. A wonderful evening. Just a wonderful one. Just a wonderful evening.
You know, I was talking about yesterday about, you know, sports, and it occurred to me, I was having a conversation as we, you know, as we get rolling today, and it occurred to me, I've lost hockey. We don't have a hockey team in town.
Well, I mean.
I know, it's a weird thing. I was just looking at
that. Yeah, why would you think about that? No, I will tell you this, though. Like, being in Philadelphia for all those years, and, you know, talking about the Flyers and come down here and, like, we're, like, in hockey nomad land, no man's right. land. And it's kind of funny because there's never a hockey topic that comes up ever.
So right, ever.
It's kind of fun. It's funny, but it is what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah, because I was just chatting on Twitter yesterday, and, you know, because we were talking about whether or not, for example, in terms of hockey, whether or not we get another team here in town. And I thought, well, you know, I don't
no.
think we're going to get another team. I don't know if I'm entirely of the opinion that we won't at some point. Atlanta's too big a market, and it revolved around Seattle getting a team and whatnot. So I went and I looked at the standings, and I said, man, I think I've lost hockey because I didn't realize, because I haven't really looked or have, you know, paid much attention. The Blackhawks are no good.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
All of a sudden, they're no good.
The Toronto Maple Leafs apparently have learned how to check. Which is kind of a new thing because they're go figure this. The Toronto Maple Leafs are good, and the Blackhawks are no good. Okay, all right, I get it. And the LA Kings are no good. So it's like, okay, all right. I had to kind of get back up to speed with it. And then I realized I kind of miss hockey.
Man, hockey's not coming back to Atlanta. You can stop that. I know you feeling all kumbaya-ish because of what Atlanta United was able to do. That's something totally different, John. Nobody's watching hockey, man. I mean, and that's not me trying to disrespect the sport of hockey. That's just the reality of it. Hockey's an expensive sport to maintain.
Well, not only that, but if I'm not wrong, hockey has the most expensive tickets of any sport. You know, it's more expensive than the NFL, more expensive than Major League Baseball, more expensive than the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, man. My son, I remember we used to take him on the ice time. It was expensive. It was no joke. And it's one of those things, man. That's why you have a lot of, like, kids from America, if they're really serious about hockey, they go to hockey families.
Mm-hmm.
And they make sure that they get all the ice time that they need and get to these hockey events and stuff like that. Hockey's no joke. Hockey is more expensive than playing golf.
And it kind of came out of a conversation I was having in regards to, are we in a good spot with Atlanta sports overall? I mean, we're coming off a title, right? And people are kind of dogging the title a little bit because, for whatever reason, no, soccer's not a sport, or, you know, or the tribalism that now exists in Atlanta sports, which is another topic, by the way, that I find to be interesting. I don't quite understand it.
Tribalism.
Yeah, we have, like, Braves fans.
No, I get what you're saying, but you can I be honest for a minute? Can I tell you what I think?
Sure.
Why it's become tribalism? Because of soccer. Because soccer fans, they like the diehard soccer fans, they have been the I'm picking and choose my words carefully, so that's why I'm stuttering and hemming and hawing. They have been on the back burner for so long. Their sport has been ridiculed for so long that when Atlanta United came here and it became the big thing that it is, it pushed them to the forefront of the sports world here in Atlanta.
Oh, there's envy.
Yes. And now it's one. It's almost like this. This is the best analogy I can give. You remember the little nerdy kid that used to be running around school, used to give him the wedgie all the time?
Mm-hmm.
He started working out, and he got muscles, and he came back, and he became the man, and now he's, you know, he's kicking sand in everybody's face, kind of like that.
Yeah,
that a little bit of that.
When we were younger, you may not remember this if you're somewhat young, but there used to be in like the Boy's Life or Sports Illustrated, there was always this ad of this skinny kid who, and it was like a black and white ad, and it was a skinny kid, and he would go drink this muscle, and then he would come back to the beach the next year with muscles, you know. Oh, hey,
and that's what
it
is, because I'm sure you've experienced it on your Twitter feed. I've experienced it on mine. All of a sudden, it's become like some Atlanta United fans, not all, but some have become a little aggressive in their tone when it comes to you and soccer. They become a little aggressive.
There are some that are that way.
They're a little aggressive. And I mean, you know, I get it. I mean, you know, it's been a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, I'll be the first to tell you, I never thought that soccer would be – I never thought in a million years that I would be in the throes of a soccer city, but I am. And it's pretty cool, and it's exciting. But at the same time, it's almost like baseball as far as it being regional. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where
I think
it's you have to look at it and respect it for what it is here in Atlanta. It might not be like that for soccer in Chattanooga or
it's not
or Ohio or something like that. That's just the reality of it. It's not as universal as say football.
Well, because I think you can make an argument that the only sport that is, you know, truly national is football.
I'll give you that. Because I was thinking it's the opposite. Because everywhere else, soccer is big except for here. But I see what you're saying, because everybody else watches the gladiator sport of football all over the place.
I always said it was like, to me, it was like a Des Moines. I used Des Moines. I don't know why I picked Des Moines. But it was like do they care about it in Des Moines? In other words, do they care in Des Moines that Atlanta United won the MLS? No. Do they care in Des Moines who wins the Super Bowl? Yeah.
No, I'll tell you what else, John. Football to me, and I would probably say basketball. Not saying that Major League Soccer isn't a major sport. Let me say that. Let me put that out there. But I think that you have those sports when they're playing for championships that everybody's watching.
Mm-hmm.
What was the year the Lakers? Who was the Lakers playing? I think it was the Sixers. Whatever year the Lakers went to the championship. I remember being in L.A. Well, of course it's L.A., but just being around and everybody's watching the game, like the Super Bowl. You're going to be hard pressed to find a place in anywhere that's not going to be having some kind of Super Bowl viewing party.
Of course.
I mean, but because that's what it is. That's how it is. The right. NBA Finals, the World Series. That's just how it is, because people that everybody, no matter what team is in it, everybody's watching that. Everybody's watching that. Probably not the same for other sports.
And we're talking about Atlanta sports, and kind of a question I have this morning is: are we in a good spot? I mean, we're coming off our first title in 23 years, a quarter century almost with Atlanta United. Now, yes, it's important to us. It was important to other people, but are we in a good spot right now? The Braves are coming off, you know, defending as NL East champions. You know, UGA is a top five football program. You have Tech's got a new head coach. The Hawks are rebuilding. I understand the Hawks aren't any good. Yeah, they lost last night. But at least, you know, here's the good thing with the Hawks. The Hawks are very transparent about where they're at, Hugh. I mean, we all understand. This is why I say you want to be Hawks cool before the Hawks are cool, because even though they lost last night, they're 6-21. The fact is, they're telling you, up front, their owner, their GM, their coach, look, we're not no good, okay? They're telling you that.
They're growing.
Uh-huh.
I don't think not no good is the word that they would like to use. They're growing.
Yeah, right.
I know what you're saying, John, but I'm just saying it's semantics. We're playing semantics.
Right, exactly.
It's they're growing.
And then you ask the question, are we in a good spot? And right now the Falcons are kind of dragging everything. The Falcons are so important to this town. I guess that's kind of the Falcons are so important to this town that the Falcons are going through this. You have to pause before saying whether or not we're in a good spot, because, you know, let's assume that the Falcons were good. Everybody would say, let's say the Falcons were going to the Super Bowl, okay? And everybody else was struggling. People would think we're in a pretty good spot right now. That's the importance of the Falcons, you know, because they're not. Everybody's like wondering. Because otherwise, I think the city of Atlanta's in pretty good shape.
I hear what you're saying, John. And I don't know if everybody feels the same way that you feel when you're saying it. And I hear you phrasing it, but you kind of lost me with all of the going back and forth between the two teams. Everybody's upset about the Falcons. I'll tell you that right now. Atlanta United winning helps a little bit, but I mean, realistically, it's for a lot of fans, it's not the same thing. I mean, it's a good feeling. It's great. It's something to feel good about, but it's not the same thing. It's just not. I mean, we can try to be as positive as you possibly can and make it sound good, but it's not. There's a lot of questions that Falcons fans have, and they don't understand. It's like, okay, how, if we got this, and that, how all of a sudden are we like this? And it like, again, this is not a knock on Atlanta United, but when people looking at the Falcons, and they're like, okay, the Atlanta United, what they did is great, but what the heck is going on with my football team?
Mm-hmm.
So much so that, you know, we've heard it on your Twitter feed and my Twitter feed. Get rid of everybody. Say with that is this. You're starting off from square one. So you're talking about Julio Jones going to be 30 next year.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be 30. Matt Ryan getting older. That is a drastic, that's a drastic move. I think that this team is still good enough to make some noise, but you're going to have to tweak it a little bit. Now, what tweaking it means, what Coach Quinn said the other day, evaluating coaches. I honestly think that it's going to be some wholesale changes. I put it out there. So I don't think Sark is going to be here next year. I would be surprised. I would be surprised if Coach Sark is here next year. I really would be. With the woes that this offense has had. Now, granted, if he is, it's because people think that, you know, with the injuries that the offense had, that, you know, you have to give him a mulligan on that. But I'm of the mindset that I'm thinking that Coach Quinn's looking at like, hey, man, listen, I got to strike while the iron's hot. He doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to wait around and drag his feet when it comes to his football team. He strikes me as the type of guy that if he feels that the action is warranted, he's going to take action.
Well, I think it's fair to say that he's got next season. If he doesn't turn it around next year, I don't think Arthur Blank is going to be very patient beyond next year. Kind of what they did with Mike Smith. He had the bad year, they gave him the next year. And that was that. Yeah, Coach Quinn talked to us yesterday, what you just talked about, you know, and the self-evaluation that is going on within the Atlanta Falcons at the moment. And we have that audio from Coach Quinn to play for you next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now streaming anywhere. On Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at Radio.com and the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's talk to the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Final regular season home game of the year. Arizona Cardinals coming in. As the Falcons host the Cardinals on Sunday, and we welcome head coach Dan Quinn to 92.9 The Game. Morning to you, Coach.
Hey, good morning, John. Good morning, Hugh.
Hey,
good morning.
So, Coach, first thing that comes to mind is the old Vince Lombardi quote, it's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get up. Does that about describe you right now?
Well, there's no doubt we would. That part of the team is right to make sure we fight. What I really want to make sure we're emphasizing, man, is the details, the focus to get right. And the part of the fight, part of it, you know, I know the guys will do that, but it's a matter of these details, no self-inflicted wounds, and that's going to be what it's going to take for us to play like we're capable of playing. So, we'll get back up. You can count on that. That's going to happen.
You know, Coach, when you look back on the film after you evaluated this week, what are some of the points of emphasis you'll focus on during the practice this week?
Yeah, well, I hit on a couple things. First off, I thought we made some progress and want to build some momentum in the run game. And so you know how important that is. You've heard me talk about that. So to get those opportunities and to get that part going, we're going to continue to build on that. You've heard me talk about our importance of the turnover margin. We missed it. That was one of the three things that I had spoken about the week before, where we can force more fumbles, we can create more turnovers defensively, and to finish minus two when that was one of the points of emphasis for practice, that's not getting it right.
Talking with head coach Dan Quinn. Falcons and Cardinals Sunday at 1 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Coach, you look at the team right now, and I guess we ask the broad question, who and what on the table for evaluation at this point of the year?
Well, you better believe we're evaluating everything, and we'll do anything to get it right. And so that part, there's a lot to play for and a lot of guys to, you know, fight and see where we can get to it. But the most important thing is how we go about doing that. And so I love the process that we go through to get ready to play, but now we need to go and carry that out in this game this weekend with the team. So we're looking at everything. That's what you do when you're in a tough stretch and you find out what you can improve upon. And so, you can you know, bet for sure we're looking at everything and, you know, start with me to find out, you know, what parts do we have to do better for us to play like we're capable of playing.
With this evaluation process going on right now, Coach, will we start to see more position rotations through these last few games?
Well, there won't be more of that, really, Hugh. The guys that we're wanting to take a look at, they've earned their reps, you know, in practice to get ready. And so, that was Hill at, you know, at running back, and that's been some Brilo at tackle, and, those are Oliver, some at corner. So those were guys, you know, based on, you know, the work they've been putting out here at practice, they've earned some playing time. And so we wanted to make sure that, when we had those chances, they would get their opportunities. And that's kind of the fun part of being in a competitive environment like we have here. When you do that, you get your chances, and you got to make sure we follow through on that.
Talking about the Arizona Cardinals' final home game of the season against the Atlanta Falcons coming up as they face off on Sunday at 1 o'clock at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Head coach Dan Quinn joining John and Hugh. So let's talk a little bit about the team. What is the status right now, Coach, of Devontae Freeman and the overall team health going into this game?
Yep, we'll give you a good assessment. For Devontae, we're in the same space. He's making progress for sure. He's not back practicing this week. He's still in the rehab portion of him, and we'll just take it all the way through this week and see where it goes heading into next week. Hooper, we've got good news on that it's not a long-lasting serious injury for him, so we'll see how he'll progress this week. He won't practice today, but we're definitely not ruling him out for the weekend. He's a guy that really puts it in, and in the past, whenever he's had something, he had an ankle a few years ago, and, man, he puts it in to try and get ready to play.
From an offensive standpoint, Coach, what does Arizona Cardinals offense bring to the table?
Well, I think, number one, and you probably know this, it starts with Larry Fitzgerald. And it's all the things that he does outside, at slot, things that don't show up on the stat sheet, like the way he can, block, the way he, goes after DNs to chip. It's all those things. And then you'll like Johnson when you see him as a running back. He's a complete guy. He catches out of the backfield. He lines it empty. They can screen to him. That part of their game is really, in good space. And then the quarterback, live arm, can really rip it. And so they got some speed on the outside. So they're trying to, take their shots down the field. They have the ability to complete the big ones due to the speed at receiver, running back, and, of course, with Fitzgerald.
Right, and more on Josh Rosen, Coach. What have you seen? I mean, these young quarterbacks, there was a lot expected. That whole class that came in this year in terms of the young quarterbacks, and Rosen was right towards the top of it. What have you seen from him on film? Because, you don't get a chance to see much of the Arizona Cardinals, so they're largely an unknown team to you in a lot of ways.
Well, it's number one, you have a sense for, going through the scouting process. You looked at he and Darnold and Mayfield and a number of the guys, and oftentimes you'd look at them against common opponents. So that was my first exposure, was during the offseason to him. And knowing that when you scout some of those guys in the offseason, okay, you want to have a good feel because you're eventually going to be playing some. So I think even though you're scouting them, obviously weren't looking for a quarterback, but you still go through the process to get a feel for the player. And, man, I thought he could really rip it, quick delivery, and has the arm strength to, put it in, the tight windows. He threw a good deep ball, which is an important thing because those are where the explosive plays comes. I thought a good deep ball, he had, quick release, he could get rid of the ball, and so those were the things that jumped out to me off the tape.
Talking with Dan Quinn about the Arizona Cardinals and the Atlanta Falcons coming up Sunday at 1.
Yeah, on the defensive side of the ball, Coach Chandler Jones, he jumps out at the page for me. What does he bring to the table, and what type of defensive player would you describe him as?
Well, I would say ideal first, and it would be, it's the speed and the length that he can play with. So with his arm length, you've seen him. He can get a long arm or stab a guy and be able to counter back inside. So some rushers have, one of the two where they've got really good speed or some guys are shorter, more square, power related. Would we know anyone like that? As a rusher?
Oh, I know somebody that comes to mind immediately as soon as you said it.
Yeah, so he's not that player. But he has got really good instincts. You know, Hugh, when to come under, when to counter back inside. And I thought he's really playing at a high level. So sometimes, you know, on seasons where teams aren't playing and performing as well, you still recognize, you know, when a player is really hitting at a high space. And Chandler Jones, to me, is one of those guys this year.
We're talking with head coach Dan Quinn about the Arizona Cardinals and the Atlanta Falcons. Here it is, last home game of the season. What is it that kind of the one thing you want to see? And when you talk about turnover margin, you talk about, you know, everybody kind of getting connected on the same page. What is the one thing you really want to see this week from your club? I mean, obviously, we all want to win, coach. We understand that. But, yep. You know, in terms of, you know, kind of being on the same page and progressing in terms of advancing what you want to do here.
Yep, the first one would be that turnover margin. Let's make sure we're finishing this game in the plus. That means defensively they've created a few. Offensively they've done a good job of taking care of it. The next thing on the offensive side, let's make sure in this game we're able to sustain some balance from a run-pass standpoint. That it allows us to play at our best, and I certainly hope you know, we're going to improve on third down. This system that Arizona has, the head coach came from Carolina, so we have some familiarity with the scheme. It's not exactly the same, because you don't feature every player in the same way, but we've got to work it out for us, you know, with a good scheme and one that we've gone against before. Defensively, man, just a relentless effort, really good gap control in the run game, especially with a back like Johnson. You've got to be, make sure you're rock solid, because he's a really patient runner, John. He can stay, wait, and then jump cut at the last second if you jump out of your gap. And then find ways to affect the quarterback. And that's what I'm looking for, that relentless energy, the toughness. Those are the things that I love about the team, and I want to make sure that comes to life. And so for everybody sees us play, when they say, man, that's Falcons ball right there.
Yeah, I know it's been a hard time, frustrating time. You know, for all of us fans, I wonder if you, you know, I'm sure you do, Coach, you know, kind of feel the same way. I mean, there's one thing to have turnovers and penalties, and it just seems like Murphy's Law. I mean, the turnovers couldn't be coming at the worst time. The penalties couldn't be coming at the worst time than they seem to come for this team. It's like, oh, of course, yeah, all right, here we go. You know, it's almost like, are you kidding me? I mean,
well, that happens some, but we can control those. So that's the part that, you know, it's going to turn for us. And I just know we've got the right guys to go get after it. And we plan on doing that full throttle this weekend. So we're pumped to be back home. Man, we're fortunate of how we want to go after it. So let's go do it, man. We got, you know, lots to play for, lots to get after it for. And, most importantly, let's make sure that style really comes through about, the way we want to play.
All right, maybe it was a sign from God. Did you feel the earthquake this morning?
No, I did not. But, what was the number of it?
It was a 4.4 at 4:15 this morning. And it rumbled for about 10 seconds or so.
No, I must have been thinking about third down asleep. I don't know. you might have me on that one, yeah. So I hope everybody's all right, but yeah, it's pretty rare around these parts.
Yeah, right. Well, Coach, we look forward to seeing the team back at home on Sunday. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
All right, get after it, guys. See you.
All right, the coverage begins 9 a.m. Sunday with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. We encourage you to go outside and enjoy the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sunday. Hopefully it'll be a beautiful day in December, last home game of the year, and just kind of relax, take it in. It's a Falcons game, and home team is home. I have a feeling we're going to win this week. Snap this skid, and Arizona's in a tough spot of its own, so make what we can at the end of the season, Hugh. And I'm sorry, Hugh, I will not and cannot root for the Falcons not to win. I'm sorry, I can't do that. That ain't not going
to happen. Who asked you to?
Oh, there are a lot of fans who want us to not win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot about that contingent of folks saying that they want a better draft pick. That's a tough pill to swallow, people. I mean, I hear you. I mean, especially when you're on the outside looking in, I know it's hard to understand or fathom, you know, guys, you know, still playing when there's nothing to play for. But, you know, you got to finish it out. You got to finish strong. You have to finish strong.
And, again, I know that some fans are saying things like, well, you know, if we tank – we'll get a better draft pick. Okay, there's no argument in that. There's not a lottery in the NFL, so you're absolutely right. We would get a higher draft pick. But I don't know that we would get such a better pick. For example, there are going to be quarterbacks that go at the top of the draft. I don't know that you get such a better pick as to say that, oh, I want my team to lose. No, I'm sorry. That is not in my DNA. When we get back, some of the other things that might be chatted about. A lot of interesting kind of little stories out there we want to bring you up to speed on in the Wendy Zone next with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, we've had the nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but this morning at 8 a.m., we will have a new class that it will be announced. It will be inducted into the 2019 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So there's 15 total. You have Def Leppard, Devo, Janet Jackson, John Prine, Kraftwerk, LL Cool J, MC5, Radiohead, Rage Against the Machine, Roxy Music, Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, Stevie Nicks, The Cure, The Zombies, and Todd Rundgren. So yesterday it was announced that Def Leppard won the fan vote. So the fan vote actually counts as a vote. So there's 1,000 members of either the music industry or historians or current Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees that get a vote. So Def Leppard won the fan vote with over 547,000 fans voting for them.
So 5 go in, right?
5 total will go in.
You know, Hugh, I'm confused as to what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I mean, look, there's no question that, like, for example, that, you know, is John Prine rock and roll? You know, is LL Cool J rock and roll?
No.
What defines rock and roll?
Well, who said that, Daryl? Gene Simmons. Was it Gene Simmons, right? He was talking about if it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it has to be just for rock.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It should be the Music Hall of Fame. I mean, that's probably
I'm
the
with
best.
You.
It should be called the Music Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
because
with you.
It's like, it's one of those things where you look at all the different genres of music, because Kraftwerk, I remember Kraftwerk was like, what, techno music, like Kraftwerk.
Yeah.
Because they had the Tour de France. The Tour de France was their big
the
hit.
The Tour de France album was bomb.
Yes, the Tour de France. And that's not, mm-hmm. that was like computer music.
So it's almost like rock and pop. Like the
synth. It was more like synth, a synth, yeah.
The Cure was the same way.
Yes.
I mean, like Kraftwerk. I mean, I guess Devo was. Devo was just more popular.
I like Devo.
But Daryl, being in the music industry, could probably say some of these artists had an influence on rock and roll. So I think everybody's little piece of music would help influence rock and roll music at some point.
I mean, Todd Rundgren isn't 100% rock and roll. Todd Rundgren goes all around the board.
Blues
with,
and
all
sorts of
but
stuff.
But I'm sure there's been like aspects of his music or...
Well, but
definitely.
But he had two or three gigantic rock hits, too. I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, I would think Todd Rundgren... Looking at this list, just from a name value, Def Leppard, you got 5. Def Leppard, Janet Jackson's a given.
Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks, mm-hmm. because of her ties to Fleetwood Mac.
To the witches.
Yeah. You know, Todd Rundgren, those 4. And then, you know, gosh, you can make a case for like LL Cool J, Devo, and of course, I'm partial to Rufus, because Rufus' Chaka Khan was such a big part of my life.
I'm partial to Roxy Music. I mean, I like what they did New Wave-wise.
Right, right. I know. And Roxy Music was... Was that was to do with the patch on the eye, right?
Yeah, yeah. Brian. I think his name was Brian Ferry.
Right, that's right.
And the Cure. I mean, look at what they did in the punk scene.
Yeah, they were a punk band, but they tried to go mainstream.
They tried. Yeah, it sounded more new wavy.
Yeah, more new wavy. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, who makes it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Well, here's how the fans voted. So the top 10 fan votes, it went Def Leppard number 1, followed by Stevie Nicks, Todd Rundgren, The Zombies, The Cure, then Janet Jackson, Devo, Roxy Music, Rage Against the Machine, and Radiohead. So that's what the fans have voted on, at least for the top 10. So it may go in that direction. Mm-hmm. But like I said, at 8 a.m., we'll have the full list. So
right,
by the 9:40 TWZ, we will have a new class inducted into the Rock and Roll, or at least inductees into the
Have you ever been? Have you ever been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I have not.
Hugh, have you ever been?
No, I haven't had a chance to go yet.
Yeah,
I've been.
You went? I've never been. I only went to Cleveland once in my life, and it was before it was even built. So
how is it, AT, since you've been?
It was nice. I think I went after Run DMC was elected to the group, and a good friend of mine worked at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so she took me on a tour. So it was nice. I mean, the building design was perfect. I had a great time.
That's really cool. So we'll
Cleveland
have
rocks.
So we'll have the full class for you at 9:40 this morning. I want to ask everybody in the room, how much would it take for you guys to give up your phone for an entire year? How much money would it take for you guys to give up your phone for 1 year?
$20. You can have it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not attached to my phone like that. Okay. If it weren't for events, I wouldn't even be on my phone.
This might be for you.
Man, I'm not
John
sure.
Hugh, How much money would it take?
You gotta give me a couple mil.
Yeah, you gotta give me a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I tweet during sporting events, and I have no hesitation in talking about politics.
A serious amount of money for you to use. Yeah, I'd want
$250,000. Okay, you said a couple million. AT probably a couple million.
You would have to start at $500,000.
$500,000 for that. And Daryl said $20. So Daryl probably be the only person because it would take me a couple million. I'm with you. It would take me a couple million to give up my phone for a year. So Daryl, this contest might be for you. Vitamin Water just announced a new contest where they're going to pay someone $100,000 if they give up their phone for all of 2019. So if they pick you, you'll have to go 365 straight days without using your smartphone, iPad, or anyone else's smartphone or iPad. You'll have to take a lie detector at the end to prove that you stuck to the rules. If you did, you get $100,000. If you make it 6 months, you get $10,000. But you won't be without a phone because they're going to give you that. You guys remember those Nokia phones where you could change the back?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll give you a Nokia
phone.
Oh,
in that case, yeah, I could
do
this.
So you can still talk on the phone. You just can't post.
You can't
post.
I could do that.
Instagram.
I just want my phone now for emergencies.
Well, see, that changes the game then.
Yeah.
I could do that.
That I could do.
Yeah, I could do that.
But you just couldn't use an iPad either.
That's so you fine. Can't check your email. No, I couldn't do that because I got to check my email.
Well, you can check your email like on a computer.
It means like no FaceTime and no stuff like that.
Yeah, I could do that.
I don't do that anyway.
I'm cool.
I could do this. I could do that.
Oh, now that you mention it, yeah, I'll give it up in a heartbeat. Bye.
Bye. 100 grand.
You just sit on the laptop and start tweeting.
Yeah, because I don't do all that. I don't do all that. So yeah,
I think it'd be more difficult.
As long as I have it for emergencies, so roadside emergencies or family emergencies, I'm good.
Talk to my daughter.
Yeah.
Well, then I think you should enter this contest.
I'm going ahead and enter right now.
Enter the contest and let's see if you can.
I haven't put up a thought pick in a while. I ain't put no thought to Palooza picks up. So
you walk around like a thought, so you don't have to put that up. Get out of here.
Can you see Hugh at the contest? He has to go like by a camera.
This man got on a muscle jacket with no shirt on up under it, man.
Have you seen
Have you seen? My daughter bought one of these new, speaking of cameras, my daughter bought one of these new Polaroids. Have you seen one of these yet? The new ones that do the Instamatic? And they're itty-bitty little Instamatic pictures. And she's walking around taking these little itty-bitty Instamatic pictures.
I've seen those. I'm not impressed.
Impressive.
They're what cool. can you do with that?
Nothing. I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
You can hang them on, I guess, Pinterest. On Pinterest a lot. You can hang them on like little strings and make them decorations like on your wall, like a photo board almost.
All right, whatever.
I think that's a monumental waste of money.
She's got one of these things. I'm like, all right, would you stop that?
I love those. No, they're so much fun. They make for the picture quality turns out really good in my opinion. But if you want to enter this contest, which is funny, you have to post on Twitter or Instagram and say how you use your gear if you didn't have your smartphone. Use the hashtag no phone for a year and hashtag contest. Entries are due by January the 8th. So, Daryl, get on it January 8th.
I'm sending it right now.
So, just make sure you add vitamin water as well. Well, this is the moment of the year where we all get our list. And there's been a list that's been released by The Ringer. It's chosen its 45 favorite sports moments of 2018. And guess what they picked for the number one moment, AT? The number one moment of 2018, it has to do with your New Orleans Saints and something that happened in the postseason. The 10-second Minneapolis miracle with Stephon Diggs brought the stadium to its feet with a surprise Vikings touchdown to beat the Saints in January. It was their top moment of 2018 in sports.
Don't worry, we'll have a new one come February.
That'll be 2019, and your loss in the Super Bowl is not going to count.
Okay, hater.
Oh, no, I don't even want them.
You're going to have to go to that strip club.
By the way, there's just a... What? Man.
I know how to shut you up like that.
Is that the bet? Is that the bet?
Oh, that's going to be the bet.
Oh. By the way, today you should know there's a bit of news because the real estate maven was informing of it. Today is going to be kind of a potentially a huge day for space travel because Richard Branson is sending a rocket up today to space. So Virgin Atlantic, which wants to take you people up into space and just fly around.
They're going to the moon?
And eventually to the moon. Today's the test flight.
Who's on the test flight?
I have no idea. I don't know who's piloting it. They're going to go up to space today.
You ain't slick, John. I know what you're doing. You ain't letting it go. That's your slick way of still talking about this whole moon thing.
I have a moon update.
You ain't slick, John. I just wanted to put that out there. You ain't slick.
We'll do the moon update at 9:40.
What are you going to say about the Falcons, huh? What are you going to say? Well, we'll have what they said and why I got the side eye yesterday in Flowery Branch. Next, with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.